than unashamed, and with expectation answer when he calls. Let the church arise. Let us stand for what is holy. Let us stand for what is right and live our lives as a beacon in the night. No, we will not come.
Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us. We thank you for the mercies that you give us every day. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Bless the services today, the offerings and the song services. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's all stand and turn to 167. To God be the, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Seated, and then turn over to 162. To God be the glory.
To the
is the Lord. Oh, rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, Mrs. Rowe. All right, if you don't have your bulletin, there's one in the back. Monday, October 24th, that's tomorrow, the ladies meeting at the church at 6:30. Wednesday, October 26th, Bible preaching and prayer. October 29th, that's Saturday, Operation Saturation, soul winning, and bus visitation at 10 a.m., and then the Family Harvest Festival at 3:30 to 6:30. And then Sunday, October 30th, the missionary from the Philippines will be with us. Saturday, November 5th, the Ladies' Day Away at Berean Baptist Church from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That costs $25. Sunday, November 6th, all military veterans will be honored. Time change, so make sure that you put your clocks back. And then that Tuesday, November 8th, is Election Day. And please do not forget about the ladies' meeting tomorrow. And there's some more neat stuff on there, and please remember to pray for the people on the back. All right, all yours.
All right, here we are again on Sunday. Seems like the week just seemed to pass by, the year. I mean, here we are in the middle of October, almost won't be long. November will be here. We'll be thinking about Thanksgiving and then Christmas in December. And where's the year gone, you know? We're still, you know, trotting along here in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 13. It's good to see Jack with us today, and pray for him. I think he's going to the doctor this week. Looking at his ears again, and then I do remember my wife. We're going to the doctor again on Tuesday of this week and see what he can do for us. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, and we're studying here. We looked last week, I think, in verse 12, 11, or 10. We have this man here by the name of Elymas, and he is a sorcerer. And as we talked about him a little bit last week, he was trying to keep the governor of the area, Sergius Paulus, from hearing the gospel. He was standing between Barnabas and Saul in trying to keep this governor from hearing the gospel. And we see that Sergius Paulus, the Bible tells us he was a prudent man, and he called for them. He was wanting to know about what the message was that they had, and he was inquisitive. I believe he was wanting to hear. He was one of those who was seeking after the truth. He wanted to hear the truth. And of course, a lot of times, we said last week, when people want to hear the truth, there's sometimes those that stand in the way, are keeping us back from telling them about Christ and different things like this. So this is what Elymas was doing. But the problem is, I believe here that he finds out Saul is here. It says in verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, and we talked about this is the first time, and after this verse of scripture here, we'll always refer to, in the scriptures here, it's always going to refer to Saul as Paul, because this is his Roman name, actually. And so it says Paul was there, and it said, and this is a key thing. Whenever we confront anybody with things that upset us sometimes, and this is what was happening, he was feeling that righteous indignation inside of him. A key thing here in this verse of scripture is that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had been with God and he had prayed, and the Holy Spirit was filling him. Whenever we want to rebuke somebody, We need to make sure that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have God on our side, because when we go out there and we don't have God on our side, we just might get in a little bit of trouble. We might be we might not come across the way we should. But anyway, we see here that he said he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and as I said last week, he set his eyes on him. I mean, he looked at him. He gave him that look. That's what I always called it when I was at home. Growing up as a kid, my mom looked at me. I knew I seen that look, you know. Or my dad, I'd seen him sometimes. I can't believe it, but yeah, he was angry at me a few times. And I saw that look. You know, there was trouble coming. And I believe that Elymas realized here that when Paul looked on him, and the Bible says here that he set his eyes on him. He looked at it and said, this is the problem. You are the problem, and we're going to solve this problem. And again, as I said, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Important for us to realize that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit when a situation, circumstance comes up like this. And he says, it was on in verse 10, and he begins to tell him, and he said, O ye full of subtlety and all mischief, child of the devil, he said, thou child of the devil, and thou enemy of righteousness. And so he's telling Elymas exactly all these things. I think we went over these last week. Subtle, had trickery within him and different things like this, but mischief. I remember being mischief as a kid, and my mom telling me that. I remember a time when I got my sister, well, actually, I got my sister in trouble with my brother. My brother was I called him a selfish little kid. But anyway, but he was younger than me, but he didn't want anybody to ever touch his things. And so I remember one day telling my sister, go ahead, David won't care. You go ahead, you play with it all you want. And then I knew when he came in, then there was going to be, I was being mischief. I knew what was going to happen. And I just, you know, talked her, suckered her right into getting in trouble. Anyway, but no, that's mischief. This is the way this guy was. He was mischievous. He was mischievous in his deeds and the things that he did. Good to see John Fry with us today. Haven't seen him in a few days and a few weeks, and remember to shake hands with him later. But anyway, he was mischievous. He said, thou enemy of righteousness. That's a lot of times when we're out there visiting, we run into people that are really enemies of righteousness. They're not for doing right. They want to do whatever they want to do. And that's the world in which we live today, and the people want to do what's right in their own eyes. Now, we know how that ends up, because we can see the whole book of Judges. People did that which is right in their own eyes, and there was problems after problems. They fell into captivity. They were taken over by the Philistines. All kinds of thinking, all kinds of things happened because of their stinking thinking. I'll get it out in a minute. They were looking in their own eyes. They were doing things to their own eyes. And he says, he tells him here he's an enemy of righteousness. And then tells him that he's trying to pervert the truth. Pervert the right ways of the Lord. There are right ways. There are right ways. We need to do right. The Bible tells us that this right way is a straight path. Having the right doctrines. It's very important that we believe the Word of God, because this is where we find the doctrines, the right things. And I believe that we're going to see here in this portion of Scripture, as Paul preaches here in a little bit, we got a few more verses to get down to. He's got to move to another place. Different things are going to happen in the next few verses here, but he's going to preach. And I believe that when Paul preached, he's got an outline that he used here in 2 Timothy. And I believe it's an outline that we should use when we're preaching and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us here in 2 Timothy, I'll get there in just a minute. There it is. 2 Timothy, he's talking to to Timothy at this time, and he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. This is what he's going to do. He wants to preach the word, the right things, he says here. And he says, be instant in season and out of season. We need to preach the word of God. This is what he's going to preach. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort in all long-suffering and doctrine. It's very important the right way is the right doctrines. It's the right things. He wants to talk to Sergius Paulus about being saved, about knowing Christ as his personal Savior, and all these things. And so, but this man here, Elymas, is standing in the way. And he says, because you're perverting the truth, because you're preventing the right way from being told. And then he tells him in verse 11, he says, now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. He's speaking through the Holy Spirit here, and he tells Elymas, look out, the Holy Spirit is upon you. You know, I believe it's good sometimes to have the Holy Spirit on. We want that to happen, but in this case, he's doing it for his correction. He wants to correct him in the things that he's doing. And so he says, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. Here's the judgment that's coming to Elymas. He says, thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist, a darkness. He went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Automatically here, when Paul said this, this man's eyes failed him. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. And the judgment of God was upon him. But as I look at this, I see it's not a permanent thing. God, I believe, is gracious. And here he's showing his grace to Elymas, and that it's just going to be for a season. And this is something that he can remember back in his life. I don't know whether this is going to change him or not. The Bible really doesn't tell us. But this is a good opportunity for him to search his heart and find out what God wants. What happened here? Where was I going the wrong way? And we know that he was not going the right way. He was going the wrong way. You know, it's important for us to do the right things. Let's see what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31, I do have this marked in my Bible. So anyway, I might get there a little quicker than you do, but give you time there. Jeremiah 31 and verse 9 says, they shall come with weeping and with supplications, and will I lead them? I will cause them to walk by the river of water in the straight ways. We need to walk with the Lord here. And he's going to lead us by the rivers of water. We think of the book of Psalms and Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk... Oh, Psalms 20... Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley... No, yeah, that's 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. My mind's slipping on me a little bit there. I was thinking of Psalms 1... where it says that we should be like trees planted by the rivers of water. And I'll find Psalms 1 here real quick. And then I'll go to 23 because it's also in 23 as soon as I get to Psalms. Now, this time I don't have this one marked, so I'm turning pages. So you can turn pages with me. Psalms 1, that's pretty easy to find once we find the first chapter of Psalms here. It's after Job, there's Psalms 1. He says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And again, it's talking about then in Jeremiah there, it was talking about walking by the water In Psalms 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And so it's talking about when we're going the right path, God's going to give us that peace of God that surpasses understanding. He's going to give us guidance and direction in our life and in these things. In Hebrews chapter 12, we'll turn there for just a minute. Yep, I got this one marked too. Chapter 12, and verse 13. 12:13 says, "And make straight paths for thy feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let him rather be healed." And so it tells us here again to make straight paths. Make straight, and he's talking about here. Paul told him he's blocking them from the direct way, from the right way that God wants him to go, trying to keep Sergius Paulus from hearing the truth of God's word. And we could look at some other verses that talks about the crooked path. We know there's several in the book of Proverbs and the Psalms and different places. You have an opportunity to look up, if you're looking, want to look at the crooked path, you can look at some of those verses. But we find here that he has blinded him, and the Lord has blinded him, not Paul necessarily, but the Lord has blinded him because of that was a request of the Apostle Paul. But like I said, he doesn't blind him for the rest of his life. So it gives him the opportunity to think about what caused this. What caused this blindness? What caused, sometimes we get into some problems and different things, and we have to sit down and think, why did this happen? What is this situation about? Is there something that I need to learn from the Lord? And Elymas, if he's has any kind of character at all, he needed to look at this and see what had happened. And so we find out that he's blind. He's in the darkness and he had to be led about. Someone had to take him by the hand and lead him out of there. The Bible tells us in verse 12 of chapter 13, as then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And so we see here that because of this, the deputy here, Paulus Sergius, he believes, or Sergius Paulus, did that backwards. Anyway, he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He put his faith and trust in him. And like I said last week, also, you know, you have to watch when it just says he believes. There needs to be a change in our life. The Bible tells us that old things pass away and behold, all things become new. We need to have a change in our life because it tells us in Peter's that the devil also believed and trembles. It's just not belief. It's just not a head belief. A person can't just have a head belief. They must have a heart belief, must believe in their heart what God has said and what God is doing here. So we see here that the grace of the Lord is shown to him, and then the deputy receives his, he believes according to the what the Word of God says here, that he believes. And then in verse 13, we see a new paragraph start here in our Bible. And, of course, we know that paragraphs are added a long time. Same with the verses and chapters that we have in our Bible today. At one time, this was all just one reading. And as it goes on, it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Patmos, they came unto Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem." This verse of scripture here, all of a sudden we see what happened. The deputy changed, but we don't, in both of these circumstances, all the time that he's here in Cyprus, We do not see a count of people that got saved. We don't see any of those things. You know, a lot of times when they preached or in the synagogue, they would come out and say, well, so many people accepted the Lord, or are these people followed them, and all these things. We don't see any of these numbers situations in this portion of the scripture. As he goes through the entire island here of Cyprus. And so now he's leaving. He was here. They were at the port, and they moved up to Pamphylia in that area there. And he's heading toward, and he came to Antioch of Pisidia. Pisidia there. So that's found in chapter verse 14 also. But anyway, here in verse 13. So all of this happened. A lot of things were happening, but we don't see really the Holy Spirit here. It doesn't show the results of how many people that were saved during this time. But we do notice one thing here. It says in verse 13, now when Paul and his company, he was no longer Barnabas and Saul, it's now Paul and his company. His company. I'm not too sure how many people this was, and many the ones that I've read after anything. Like I say, when you get little verses of scripture like this, there's not a whole lot of, the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed a whole lot here. You have to kind of gather from other areas and different things and see, to kind of put it together to see what's happening here. But we have here Paul and his company. So these were the people that were with him. And we know that during a lot of the travels that Paul had people with him as they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. A lot of times they turned from the idolatry that they were in or whatever it was, and they wanted to follow him. Just like many times when the Lord preached or taught and different things, people wanted to follow after him. So this company may have grown since the first time they arrived in the country, and maybe there was those that were saved or different ones might have been coming along with him. The Bible doesn't explain any more than that. It just says a company. And it says they loosened from Paphos. That was the city where they were, and they were going up to Pergamum, which is in Pamphylia. So they're getting in a boat, and they're going up. They're going north there, and it says, but in this portion of scripture here, we see the departure of John Mark. We don't know what all happened in the Isle of Patmos, of Caesarea here. No, that's not it either. Anyway, let me look and see if I can find the name of the island again. We are in Caesarea. Okay, no, not Caesarea. That's Caesarea Philippi. I'll find it here in a minute. But anyway, every once in a while, I've been having this issue with my mind seems to go off into other directions. Anyway, they got through that island, and they were heading north. But something happened in that time period. I don't know what it was. I'm hopefully it was the working of the Holy Spirit on John Mark's heart. And he made some decisions here that he needed to go back to Jerusalem. I don't know what triggered the mood, the move, or these things. But I do know one thing, that he made a decision here to leave this area. Let me go back and find my 13th note there. Yep, there he is. Cyprus, that right there is the name of it. Cyprus. Anyway, at this time, he made that decision to leave, to depart. And we know that, we don't know, in the scripture here, it does not tell us why he left. But I do know that John Mark, Paul is going to make some decisions about him being with him another time. So let's look in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, we find the mention of John Mark again here. John chapter 15 and verse 38. And it says there It says, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are, how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So there was some reason. Paul felt that there was not a good idea to take with him John Mark at this time. And so, but here in chapter 13, we see the departure. Like I say, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot. I do know that John Mark was used of God, because he's the one that wrote the Gospel of Mark. And I do know that later in Paul's ministry, he tells him to send John Mark with him before he's profitable to me. And so as we see this working out, the Holy Spirit is working here in the hearts of men. Sometimes we don't understand why people do the things that they do sometimes, and we want to question these. But you know what? We need to learn to live to let God take care of those things, especially when somebody might leave a church or something like that. Let God take care of it. We don't understand. We just go about doing our business. And that's what Barnabas and Paul decided to do here. They were going to go ahead and go on to the next place and let John Mark do what he felt like he needed to do. And I don't know what exactly happened at the time he went back to Jerusalem, but I do know that he did write a gospel of Mark. And so I don't know if the Holy Spirit might have been working on him at that time to go back there to get more information for the gospel that he was going to write, or what it might have been, but he did leave. And of course, that kind of upset Paul just a little bit, because he wanted him to continue on with him. You know, a lot of times we want people to continue on with us, stay with us, but, you know, they don't feel like that's how the Holy Spirit's leading in different things. So anyway, that's kind of what happened here in that verse 13. And said in verse 14, he says, but when they departed from Pergama, they came to Antioch of Pisidia. Now, there's two Antiochs. You don't realize I just left from an Antioch. That's in Syria. This is another Antioch in another area, the Poseidon area, and that's where this Antioch's at. And things are going to get interesting here, because if John Mark would have went with them, he might have seen a whole lot of things a lot different. And matter of fact, when they get finished with their first missionary journey, I wonder why they ever wanted to go back on another one. We're not finished with this. I read the rest of the book, and I know what's going to happen. I mean, and you need to read through this story, because they're going to go here. The apostle Paul here is going to get up, and he's going to preach a message. And it's going to be a great message. We're going to look at it a little bit here, how much time we have here this morning. But he gets up and he preaches a message, just like I said there in Timothy. He preaches the word. He's instant, in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what he's getting ready to do here here at Antioch. And so they come there, and the Bible says, there, last part of that, and it says, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. They peacefully went into the synagogue and did just like they always did. Everywhere they went, every place we've seen that they've gone here in chapter 13, they started out in the synagogue. They went there, and some say, and I believe it's true, that they wanted to present the gospel to the Jews first. To the Jews first. They wanted them to hear. But when the Jews wouldn't listen, they were willing, more than willing, to give the gospel to the Gentiles also. And maybe that's why he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. And so here he is there in the synagogue, like they do, like they did many times before. And verse 15 says, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, If you have any word of exhortation, now what did I say? He's going to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. They said the word exhort. He said, okay, I'm ready to exhort. And so anyway, exhort for the people, say on. He gives them permission here in the synagogue to be able to preach the word of God. And then it says in verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And so, just floated there. So there he is. He's standing up, and he says, men of Israel. He connects them together. He realizes he's in a synagogue, and he wants them to realize that they're brethren. They're brethren. He believes in the word of God that they've just read, and I think as I was doing some research on this, it said that they probably were reading out of the book of Deuteronomy, because he's able to go from this point and to preach to them the things that he's preaching, mainly because they said Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 through 46 is what they thought. Because what he's going to do is what they do many times as they preach. It started back when Peter at Pentecost. What was the thing he first did? He talked about the Jews and what they had gone through and how it led up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we see the stoning of Stephen, what was he preaching? He went back to Abraham and Moses and all of these Bible characters that they remembered. They remembered about and he reminded them of all the things that their fathers had believed. And then they preached Jesus. And so we're going to see that's exactly what Paul's going to do here. And it's believed that they were probably reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1 through 46, which talks about those things, about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel, how they are brethren. And that's what he says here, ye brethren, men of Israel. He said, again, verse 15, and said, sirs, wrong chapter. That's the reason why that happened. Okay, in verse 15, after this they read, and it says in the last part of that verse, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word, exhort us, because that's what they said. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, that's how I got turned the page, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. He says, listen to me. I want to tell you about what you've just heard in the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy. He goes on to say, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they were dwelt as a strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them up out of it. And he said, in about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And he was talking about all the things they went through in the wilderness and all these things. But he's talking about their God, the God of our people. He was connecting them so that they would understand the person I'm talking about is the same God that you have. You know, the Bible tells us that in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 6 there, says, let me turn there real quick because every once in a while it slips. And it tells us that here in the chapter 11 of Hebrews is the faith chapter. It starts out in there when verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It says, by it the elders obtained a good report. So they're talking about the elders. But verse 6 is the key to this chapter and into what Paul is going to tell them here. He says, but without faith, It is impossible to please him. Talking about God. Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so he's going to explain them. It's by faith. It's by faith, and by the time he gets to the end of this message here, he's going to be talking about justification by faith. And we go to the book of Romans in chapter 5 and look at that as we go through there. We're not there this week, but next week we'll be talking about that a little bit, how he shows them they're justified by faith. It's faith, and that's what he's starting to tell them here. He said they were talking about their fathers, the fathers that had chose them, and they were chosen that they could walk by faith, that they needed to walk by faith in this time. And he says in this discourse of Paul here, he's introducing to them. Is going to introduce them to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to be talking about justification. So back here in Acts chapter 10 again, and not 10, 13, and it says, the last part of 16 said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God." He's including everybody that was sitting there, that it was important that they realize that there might have been some Gentiles there, there might have been some other people there, but he says, the main thing, ye that fear God, he says, the give audience, listen to these things, it's important. That's one of the reasons why the Bible tells us, the Lord said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That's a phrase. The problem is a lot of times today is that people have ears, they hear, but they don't. They let it slide from one ear to the other, out the other side, and they don't let it sink in. We need to hear. We need to take audience, and that's what he's saying here. You needed to hear these things. The God of this people, Israel. That's one God he's talking about. We were talking about last Sunday evening. I think the preacher was talking about the fundamentals of faith. Four fundamentals of faith. The number one, most fundamental of faith is that God is the true God. That God is as three people in persons in one: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is the Almighty. He's supreme being, and that's the number one thing in the fundamentals of faith. We must believe, as it said in book Hebrews here, that we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's all him. And that's what he's saying right here. He said, the God of this people. And he's going to go and he's going to tell them what God has done through the years, the ages here. He talked about them being down in Egypt and him bringing them out. And the times that they had in the wilderness for 40 years, they all knew the reasons why there was 40 years wandering. He didn't go into all those details, did he? No, he just reminded them that the God of Israel brought them through all those things. All those tragedies and things that we have in our life, God can still bring us through. Why? How? By faith. Putting our faith and trust in him, and he brings us through all those difficulties. And those 40 years suffered their manner in the wilderness. God was suffering with them. God was showing them grace during that time. There's many times during that wandering in the wilderness, God would have liked to just got rid of them, but he suffered through with them. And it's good for us to know that God suffers with us today. He suffers through the things that we do wrong and all these things. And so verse 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lots. They went through the wilderness, 40 years wandering, and now he shows them the distribution of the land to Israel. He's reminding them they have a land, they have a place here that God has given to them, and all these things. And he said, And when he had destroyed seven nations, and we go back in the book of Judges and look through there, the Exodus in different places, and in the Old Testament, we can see how the land was divided out to them, and that they accepted the book of Joshua, and different places, and we can see that it was divided out in this, and so he's putting it in a nutshell. He's putting it there so that they understand, and these people were Israelites, so they understood exactly what he was talking about. And then verse 20 says, and after he had given unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel. That's what I was talking about earlier. Those that did right in their own eyes. That's the whole key of the book of Judges, is that the people want to do right in their own eyes. And God had to send in a judge to deliver them out of their mess. So time after time, we see that in the book of Judges. And he reminds them of that in this verse of scripture. Until Samuel came. He was the prophet. And as he prophesied, and then, of course, we know that it goes on in verse 21. And afterward, they desired a king. They had a prophet. The prophet was leading them and giving them guidance and direction during that time. But they wanted a king. And so God is kind to them. He shows them grace and mercy, and he gives them what they want. Unfortunately, when they got what they wanted, it wasn't the thing they wanted. How many times has that happened in our life? We think, well, things are going to be great if this just could happen. Guess what? Maybe not. Maybe we're not listening to God and doing the things that he wanted them to do. He wanted them to have one God. He wanted to be the God of Israel. God wants to be the leader of Israel. Same way that God wants to be the leader of our church. He wants to be the one that guides us in direction. He's the one that wants to take control of our lives and just have us to obey him, do those things. I know it's so easy sometimes to say all we need to do is obey. It takes a little bit more to that. Easy words, not as easy to do. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We started into this message, and we're going to get down to the next part where he changes and he starts preaching Christ. And what he's going to preach is the justification that they have. Justified, just as if their sins never happened. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful. We serve a great God. Father, I pray that you give us guidance and direction in all the things that we do. We're thankful, Lord, for all you've done. We ask, Lord, now that you be with the preacher as he comes and proclaims the message. I ask, Lord, that you hide him behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, that you be lifted up and glorified. I'm thankful, Lord, for all you do for us each and every day. Lord, I pray that you just have your will and way in our lives, that we might be able to honor, to glorify you. You be lifted up today. In Jesus' name, amen.